This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
And welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi.
I had someone in the office the other day came in, and they're excited to be their first patient, and or their first visit, rather. And the guy introduced himself to me and said, "Who on the show is always hi?" And I'm like, "Wait, what?" He's like, there's a lady on there with you, and all she ever says at the very beginning is hi." And I'm like, "Oh, that's Aaron." It was very I laughed. We chuckled about it for a while. But anyway, today's show we're going to be talking about a topic we get lots of questions about, and it has to do with gut function. And today we're going to talk about gut disruptors and things that cause gut function to be less than optimal, problematic issues, et cetera, et cetera. And there are a whole host of things that can cause our guts to be dysfunctional, not work the way that we want to, create lots of problems like gas, bloating, constipation, diarrhea, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to talk about a few of those. We'll try to list off several at the end if we don't get through all of these, but I at least want to talk about a few of those.
Yeah, I think that so frequently we are in a position where we're trying to fix gut dysfunction after it happens, and people are wondering, well, what can I do because I have gut dysfunction? But obviously the best way to handle any sort of dysfunction is to prevent it from happening in the first place. And so I think for people to understand, these are the things that you may be doing or consuming on a daily basis that can impact the way that your gut functions.
Well, and you say you should prevent it from happening, but at the same time, I think a lot of individuals don't even know where some of these things are, where some of these disruptors are coming from. I don't even think they realize, oh, wait, you mean my cleaning products are disrupting my gut function?
Oh, no, I think that's completely accurate. And I also think that people are not realizing the extent of the impact that a lot of these products we see everyone else using can actually have on our bodies in general, but specifically on our gut. They've become so commonplace with most people that you don't even think of them as having any sort of impact at all, let alone a negative impact that would be affecting something as important as your gut.
Right. Yeah. I just said cleaning products. We'll just go with that. We'll start there. There are a lot of toxic cleaning products out there. And I mean, you can go online and just search, you know, toxic cleaning products or harmful cleaning products, and you'll get a whole host of things. I mean, we're not going to throw too many people under the bus, so to speak, today. I want to talk about things that are less toxic for people, and stuff that we like to use at our house for cleaning products. And those are simple things like vinegar and hydrogen peroxide. Like, those are things that are they clean a lot of stuff, baking soda as well. They clean a lot of things and they don't have the toxic chemicals and toxic residues that are in them. I mean, a lot of chemical or a lot of these toxic cleaning products that we're talking about, if you look at the list of ingredients, they're long lists of extremely difficult to pronounce chemicals. There's no possible way that stuff like that is good for you.
Okay. And I think most people can understand that to an extent, but here's the question that I get a lot, and I want to see kind of if you can explain this. All right, I understand that the ingredients are not great for me, but neither are the things that those cleaning products are killing, right? So say we're in the middle of cold and flu season, and I want to make sure that my family stays healthy. Isn't it more important to kill any viruses that are on surfaces than it is to worry about what's in those products? Like, your natural products, are those actually going to be doing the job of these more heavy duty cleaners?
Well, yes, hydrogen peroxide will kill pretty much anything. However, what you're bringing up is a concept that I think a lot of people understand, but don't understand all at the same time. I know that seems maybe a little confusing. Basically, what we're talking about here is the germ theory versus terrain theory. And the germ theory says that if you're exposed to a bug, you're going to get that bug. And terrain theory ultimately says that, you know, an infection or something like that is only going to happen in a system that allows said infection to take place. I mean, I think we know we just went through in this country quite a the whole world went through quite an ordeal there for, you know, 2.5 years or so, a couple years, whatever that timeline was. And not every single person on the planet got that sickness, but we can safely say that everyone was exposed. Well, if germ theory were true, then everyone that got exposed would have been sick and gotten sick and had the problem. But that's not what took place. There are a lot of people that I know that didn't get sick, and
Who were definitely exposed.
Who were definitely exposed.
And I think a lot of us know, you know, situations where there were gatherings of people and, you know, 40% of the people ended up with getting sick. And okay, well, why only 40%? Was it a difference in exposure? Possibly. But also, what was going on with those people who didn't get sick that allowed their bodies to fight it off?
That's the whole concept. And you guys can look up for yourself terrain theory versus germ theory. And like, I understand the concept of germ theory and I get what they're trying to say, but also terrain theory makes a whole lot more sense, because if your system is just beaten down, you're more likely to be to catch the flu or be sick than the next person whose system is not beaten down. Like,
right. And I think ultimately it is probably your smartest bet, if you aren't, you know, really well versed and well educated in this, to kind of go about it addressing both, right?
Yeah.
You want to make sure that things in your house are clean, hands are clean, yeah. Not with, you know, these super duty, you know, heavy duty toxic cleaners, but
you don't want to be licking a cutting board that you just cut up chicken on. I mean,
but at the same time,
common sense.
Like, let's do what we can to make sure that our bodies are as healthy as possible to fight off anything, because nothing is going to be 100%.
Yeah.
You know, even those heavy duty toxic cleaners are not going to be 100% all the time, killing everything that could possibly harm your body.
And like me, like, I just brought up the salmonella exposure or whatever from chicken and, you know, raw chicken and a cutting board. Like, if you're at my house, you see I clean things as I go. Like, I am so anal about it that, like, when I'm grilling meat, I will flip over, say, chicken. I come in and I wash the tongs. I don't leave the tongs sit out there. I wash the tongs between flips until I know that chicken is done. And that's the point at which I say, okay, well, the chicken is done. We don't have to worry about any kind of cross-contamination, things like that. Like, that's what I do. I'm using soap and water and I'm taking care of things. I'm not necessarily cleaning everything in my house with bleach. I'm not using,
definitely not, right? Yeah, that's right. Kind of what we're talking about.
I'm not using bleach. I'm not using, cleaners that I can't pronounce what's in them.
But we are consistently cleaning things.
Yes.
Also, and I think that is something that just becomes habit over time, right? Like you start to become more aware and then you don't have these things build up where you feel like you need to use these heavy duty cleaners because you need to do this deep clean and kill everything. If you're kind of keeping up with it, with the more natural cleaners that are killing most things and keeping your body healthy, things will run much more smoothly.
Right. So that's some toxic cleaning product stuff. Let's throw one out there that a lot of people don't even think realize disrupts gut function at all. And that would be dairy. I think a lot of people are like completely oblivious to the fact that conventional dairy is really not good for most humans. And it has nothing to do with, in my opinion, with a lot of different things. Let me back up. There's a lot of people out there that are throwing a lot of information out there saying why dairy is bad, why dairy is bad, why dairy is bad, why dairy is bad. Ultimately, why dairy is bad is very few humans can actually digest and break down the proteins in dairy. You know, a lot of people throw around out there, well, I'm lactose intolerant. Well, maybe, but more than likely, you're protein intolerant. You can't digest the casein and whey. That's where the issue lies. I've done thousands and thousands and thousands of food sensitivity tests in our clinic, and it is extremely uncommon for us to find someone who can actually tolerate the casein and or whey that's in dairy. It's the inability to break down these proteins that causes the digestive problem. And then we start with all of the issues that come with maldigestion. You start with the gas and the bloating and the upset stomach and the diarrhea, potential constipation, and you have all of these things. And once that starts happening, your gut microbiome takes a hit. If you consume dairy, can't digest it, and get diarrhea, you've just lost a ton of gut flora that now you have to rely on your now dysfunctional gut to be able to repopulate. And that is very, very difficult for a lot of people.
Right. I also want to point out that conventional dairy is typically, with most people, going to affect your gut. You may not notice any gut-related symptoms. And I just bring that up because that's how I am. I have talked about this before, but if I consume any conventional dairy, I tend to get acne, which is definitely enough to keep me from eating it. It's a big red flag that my gut is not handling it properly, but I don't ever have any gut-related symptoms. So a lot of people think that if they aren't feeling, bloated or, having diarrhea or something after they consume it, that they're fine with it. And that's not necessarily the case. Do you have sinus issues that are coming up? Do you have acne, other skin problems? It all could be related.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about gut disruptors. I'm going to touch on this dairy thing a little bit more. You're listening to Wellness 101.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in today, we are talking about gut disruptors. And one of the things that we were talking about right before the break, Aaron was discussing how conventional dairy doesn't necessarily create gut dysfunction with her, doesn't cause the...
But doesn't cause gut symptoms.
Oh, yes.
But can still cause gut dysfunction.
Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that. Gut symptoms. And she was talking about how if she consumes dairy, she will actually end up with acne. Whereas me, if I consume dairy, I actually get the gut symptoms. I'll get gas and bloating and I just don't feel very good. Just kind of a general not well feeling. And when we're doing those things and we're causing... Our gut dysfunction, like this is a big problem because a lot of people associate or think that they have to have a gut related symptom in order to have a problem with a food. And this is all food, not just dairy. We're talking about dairy in this particular case, but it's all food create this type of thing. And so one of the things that Aaron brought up was a symptom that is not related to gut function. She was talking about how if she consumes dairy, she ends up with acne. And I think a lot of people out there, if it's not a gut-related symptom, they don't tie a correlation between a food that they're eating and a problem that their body is having. And so I just want to make that clear that if once people start realizing, oh, I have this, I'm not supposed to eat this or I'm not supposed to eat that, my body doesn't like this or that, and then they started realizing, oh, crap, I stopped eating dairy and my joint pain has started to get better. In your case, acne goes away or is improved significantly.
Or depression. That's a huge one. Depression and anxiety, because people don't realize so much of that is tied to the gut. So if you take away the things that are causing your gut dysfunction, that is, of course, going to improve dramatically. And people don't typically correlate, you know, mental, emotional symptoms with your gut, and certainly not with dairy in general.
Yeah. Well, And then staying with food, I want to move on to another thing that disrupts our gut function, and that would be pesticides and herbicides, all the stuff that's sprayed on our food before we consume it. I think most of you realize that conventional farmers today use an abundance of herbicides and pesticides to on their crops. They're spraying this stuff, you know, sometimes multiple times a year, to help prevent bugs and things from creating issues or with the crops and potentially destroying the crops. So a lot of this stuff is really not good for us. There are a lot of chemicals that are in these things that really create problems for humans too. I mean, there are some specific pesticides out there that are involved in lawsuits right now. I think we're all pretty much aware that there's you know, class action lawsuits going on all across the country on the use of glyphosate and the consumption or being exposed to glyphosate, which is one of the active ingredients in Roundup. I think it's no surprise to anyone out here that those things may not necessarily be good for us. And that's true. They are not necessarily good for us. And they also create massive amounts of gut dysfunction. And again, this is one of those situations where in functional medicine, for whatever reason, it has become this little mantra of, well, healing starts in the gut. Got to start with the gut. Got to begin with the gut. Got to get to the gut, you know, issues with the gut. Got to be here. Got to be there. Like this gut. Well, okay. But what about talking about all these things that we're consuming that are creating this gut problem? Like, I can give you all the pills, powders, and potions on the planet to help heal your gut, but if you're going to constantly throw pesticide-laden food into your gut, our efforts are kind of in vain. We're not even able we're taking one step forward and two steps back here. Yeah, I referenced Paul Abdul. That's right, I sure did. That's the thing that we're talking about is we're not even addressing these major gut disruptors, and we're just saying, oh, you have gas, bloating, and your gut's inflamed. Let's give you this, and your gut will, you know, heal and seal itself, and everything will be all hunky dory. Meanwhile, we're shoving pesticide laden food down our throat, thinking that we're being healthy.
Okay, so what does someone do then if they want to avoid pesticides but can't afford to eat organic everything?
Well, that's a great question, and that's one of the biggest problems that we have in this country. Until enough people start using their wallets to make decisions and stop buying, you know, these heavily pesticide sprayed foods and start buying more organic things, we're not going to get away from that stuff. Until the government stops subsidizing these crops that, you know, we spray all these pesticides on and start subsidizing things like organic broccoli and organic foods and, or, you know, all the organic produce and our organic meats, like, that's going to be a problem. We're going to have to get enough people on board. Enough people are going to have to be sick from this stuff to say, okay, we have to make a change. Or you have to grow it yourself. And that's not impossible.
It's not impossible, but it's not feasible for the vast majority of people.
Well, you're right. It's going to be very difficult for people living in cities. It's going to be people, you know, difficult for that sort of thing. But these are the issues, and, you know, we have to take responsibility for ourselves and for our own health and well-being. We can't rely on absolutely everybody else out there to fix it for us. So
right.
We have to start making conscious efforts and conscious decisions to say, okay, I'm at least going to buy organic in these items.
Well, and that's what I was going to bring up. So the Environmental Working Group each year comes out with the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, right? Of yeah. Fruits and vegetables that the Dirty Dozen are the dozen fruits and vegetables that are most likely to be contaminated with pesticides. So those are the ones that if you're going to choose organic at all, do it with those when you're, you know, consuming those 12 fruits and vegetables. And then the clean 15 are the ones that they say, you know, it's fine to buy conventional, or it's much less damaging to buy conventional. So if you are budgeting, you can look it up because it changes each year. They put out their list, but it's something that is really important to know if you're working on a budget, to know which are the fruits and vegetables that are most likely to be contaminated and then least likely to be contaminated?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Like you have to, this is one of those, you have to take control of your own self, your own family, your own decisions and say, okay, I'm going to stop this madness, at least in this specific area. And I'm going to focus on making a better choice, making a better decision.
Right. Well, and I just want to point out that those are two separate things, right? There's the issue with cost, which is, you know, budget issue, and how much money do we actually have to put towards food? And then there's the effort. Okay, I'm actually going to do the work to look up which ones are most important for me to buy organic. I'm not just going to grab a snack off the shelf. I'm going to buy fruits and vegetables and cut them up. I mean, you know, those are two. I don't want to confuse the two. Yeah. One is a monetary issue and one is an effort issue.
Well, and then you also have the concept of there are some locations where the population may not have access to that. The store that they shop at
absolutely
may not carry the organic produce or the organic whatever it is that you're looking for. So, you know, these are things to that we are aware of. We are acknowledging. I understand that is a problem.
Right. We don't live in this, you know, utopian society where everything is accessible to everyone.
Right. So, completely understand. But if we're able to start making just changes, start baby steps. That's everything. You eat the elephant one bite at a time. We start with baby steps. We start moving everything in the right direction. And maybe we can, you know, effectively make a change.
Right. Well, and all of that starts with awareness, which is why we're talking about it in the first place, yeah. Right? I think one of the most frustrating things for both of us is when we hear people who are putting in a ton of effort and not getting it right because they don't have the right information.
Yeah, they just don't know. They look at you like, well, how was I ever supposed to know that?
Right.
Who out there is telling me that? Yeah. And then you give them that little taste of information, and then those are the people that come back on their next few visits, and they're like, hey, look at this article. Look at this. Have you read this? Have you seen that? I'm like, I'm so excited that you have started your own journey to find the truth about what's really going on out there. It warms my heart, makes me feel good when, you know, we're helping people make better decisions about their own health. Okay, we've got to take another break. When we come back, we are going to continue talking about gut disruptors. We've got a few more on here that I think you're going to find kind of exciting. We'll be back. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you are just tuning in, today we are talking about gut disruptors and things that there's quite a list of gut disruptors or things that affect gut function. And we're touching on a few maybe lesser known or lesser thought about gut disruptors rather than, you know, the big ones that everyone kind of understands. Oh yeah, no, that messes up my gut. So we've talked about toxic cleaning products. We've talked about conventional dairy. We've talked about pesticides. Now I want to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about mold and heavy metal toxicity. It amazes me still to this day how many people that come to us looking for answers, looking for a solution, we actually find high levels of toxic metals and mold in their system. It's kind of mind-boggling, really. I can't think of a client that we've had in the last several years that hasn't had at least one of these, if not both, present in their system, creating all kinds of problems for their body.
And I think it's really important to point out that most people have no idea where they're being exposed. Now, that's not always the case, right? Because once you kind of deep dive into their history, we are able to locate in a lot of situations, okay, well, this may have caused a problem, right? Anytime you've lived in an older home or, you know, certain areas of the country, certain different, subdivisions and things like that that we know are problems in our area. But in general, people are shocked to find out they have mold or heavy metals, and they're not really sure where it came from.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what they do is they go home and they start figuring out when they have high levels of mold, well, crap, do I have mold in my house? And it's kind of actually amazing as well that as many people that come back and say, yeah, I actually found mold in my home. I found this here. I found this there. We did a mold test for the house, and this is what we found. And now what do we do? How do we get rid of it? How do we keep it from coming back? How do we, you know, what do we do? Where do we go from here? Like these are all legitimate problems that people have when they find out, oh crap, I've got all this going on. Well, for me, I'm like, yeah, you've got to address that in your house. But the important thing for us is we also have to address this mold in your system because it's creating all kinds of havoc. I mean, not only are mold and metals gut disruptors, they're also endocrine disruptors. They mess up our hormones. Well, okay. And a lot of people, that's how they talk about it. They talk about, you know, these things being endocrine disruptors. Well, a lot of our hormones are actually manufactured in our gut. Our neurotransmitters are manufactured in our gut, or they're part of the manufacturing process has to do with our gut and our gut's ability to absorb nutrients that we need to make these things. Like, we're talking about crazy chaos that happens with our gut function when we have, you know, molds in our system. I mean, some people, they have allergies to mold and they know, okay, well, if I walk into a place that is moldy, I have allergies. Well, guess what? If you're having allergies, that's a whole systemic issue. That's not just, okay, I get a runny nose and I sneeze a lot. I mean, that's a lot of increased mucus production along all of those mucous membranes that are happening. And, you know, we're creating all this histamine release and all this stuff and the chaos and the havoc that this stuff plays on the body.
Right. And while there are certainly things that we can and should do once we find out that someone has mold or heavy metals in their body, the most important really is to, you know, eliminate the exposure, right? I mean, if you're being exposed,
basically burn your house down and get rid of all your belongings and just move. that's your only choice.
But if you're exposed on a daily basis, I mean, you know, just in full disclosure, we have had patients who, you know, are being exposed through their work environment or through their home, and they get frustrated with us because they still are having symptoms. And we're like, we can only treat you so much if you continue to be exposed on a daily basis. There's only so much that we can do. Now, of course, that's going to, I mean, there are a lot of different factors that go into that. It's going to matter how much exposure you're getting, how healthy your body is otherwise, and how well you're able to tolerate those exposures. But, you know, all things being equal, if you're exposed on an everyday basis, our treatment is only going to go so far.
And two, another thing that happens is we'll have husbands and wives that come in living in the same home. One of them has high levels of mold and one of them doesn't. And we find out that they have mold in their home. Well, why did the one not have an issue? Well, because some people are able to kill, bind, and excrete mold. Their system is functioning well enough to overcome the problem that's being delivered to them. But also, we have no idea. They may work outside, or they may work, you know, they may not have a job where their job is exposing them as well. I mean, like Aaron just said, I mean, if people being exposed at home and at work, like that's a big problem. And that's, you know, you're basically being exposed all the time, except when you're in your car. And who knows, you may have exposure in your car. I mean, I don't know if your air conditioner went bad and you've got mold growing in there. Another place for mold exposure in houses for people are individuals using a CPAP machine. One of the first questions I ask if someone says, yeah, I've been diagnosed with sleep apnea and I have a CPAP machine, I say, how often do you clean your machine? It's unbelievable how many people tell me, oh gosh, I don't know, maybe twice a month, maybe. I'm like, okay, well, it only takes less than 24 hours for mold to start growing on water. So you need to clean that thing way more frequently than you're doing now. And I've had individuals that have had issues start to improve just by cleaning their CPAP machine more frequently. Anyway, I don't want to beat on the mold too much because, you know, we mentioned mold and heavy metals. Heavy metals are also a huge, huge problem. And knowing our exposure to these things is really important. So, you know, heavy metals can be coming from all kinds of places. Certain parts of cities have lead pipes that are bringing water to people. Someone in an older home may have a lead pipe in their home. They may have lead paint on the walls. I mean, we had this whole lead issue up in Michigan that, you know, it was just in the municipal water supply. Like, there are so many places where where we are exposed to metals. I mean, there are medications that have metals in them. And people are like, well, I had no idea. And I mean, it's really true. I mean, there are metals in certain medications. And so the issue with this stuff is how this stuff affects our gut and the disruption that it gives to our microbiome when we're exposed to these things and we're not doing anything to help bind this stuff and carry this stuff out of the system. There are different ways to get this stuff out of the system. It depends on what's there. It depends on how much damage is being caused, and how healthy the person is as we're trying to remove these things from a system. That, you know, this is one of the places where we were threading a needle in functional medicine, at least at our office, in helping someone to remove these things from their system, all while helping their system improve. Because as you try to take this stuff out, if the body wasn't able to detoxify it the first time, it's going to have a really hard time detoxifying it the second time. And so if it's creating gut disturbance going in, it's going to create potentially gut disturbance coming out, because that person's system may be just completely dysfunctional and need massive amounts of help.
Right. Well, and a lot of people have trouble with that detoxification component, which is where we come in.
that is true. But, you know, this is one of those things where you have to know that it's in your system and you have to know that you're being exposed, because, I mean, if you're coming in saying, I have gut dysfunction, I only want to focus on my gut, and all we do is look at some blood labs and show, okay, yeah, you're missing some things here, and we look at a stool test and we're like, okay, yeah, your gut's dysfunctional, I can, like I said before, I can give you everything that we know can help to build that gut up. But if you're still getting damaged, and because you're using these things that we've been talking about today, you're continuing to consume dairy, you're continuing to use toxic cleaning products, you're not figuring out if you have mold and heavy metal exposure, you're still eating foods that are heavily laden with pesticides. Like, there is nothing that I can give you that's going to overcome that mountain of insult to your gut.
Right. No, exactly. We have to eliminate the exposure.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we've got a couple more that I want to touch on, and then we'll do a little recap of the things that we've been talking about that can disrupt a gut. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back to the show. If you're just tuning in today, we have been talking about gut disruptors, things that disrupt gut function. I think we've been talking about some things that people may not necessarily equate to being gut disruptors. We've talked about toxic cleaning products. We've talked about conventional dairy. We talked about pesticides, mold, and heavy metals. And next, we're going to talk about antibiotics. Pretty much everyone has taken at least a round of antibiotics in their life. And we know that these things can be, you know, very important for us. They help kill off bacteria and help us if our body's having a difficult time fighting off an infection. But one of the side effects of killing off these bad bacteria that get into our gut is that they also kill off or bad bacteria that get into our body, they also kill off some of the good bacteria that is in our gut. And when they do this, then our gut has to be able to repopulate. That means that we have to be eating the right foods. We have to be doing the right things to allow our gut to repopulate. Now, where we can really get into trouble is when we take one round of antibiotics and that doesn't do the job, and then we follow that up with a second or third or fourth round of antibiotics. And now we have just...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you are just tuning in, today we are talking about gut disruptors and things that... there's quite a list of gut disruptors or things that that affect gut function, and we're touching on a few maybe lesser known or lesser thought about gut disruptors, rather than the big ones that everyone kind of understands. Oh yeah, no, that messes up my gut. So we've talked about toxic cleaning products. We've talked about conventional dairy. We've talked about pesticides. Now I want to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about mold and heavy metal toxicity. It amazes me still to this day how many people that come to us looking for answers, looking for a solution, we actually find high levels of toxic metals and mold in their system. It's kind of mind-boggling, really. I can't think of a client that we've had in the last several years that hasn't had at least one of these, if not both, present in their system, creating all kinds of problems for their body.
And I think it's really important to point out that most people have no idea where they're being exposed. Now, that's not always the case, right? Because once you kind of deep dive into their history, we are able to locate in a lot of situations, okay, well, this may have caused a problem, right? Anytime you've lived in an older home or, you know, certain areas of the country, certain different, you know, subdivisions and things like that, that we know are problems in our area. But in general, people are shocked to find out they have mold or heavy metals, and they're not really sure where it came from.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what they do is they go home and they start figuring out when they have high levels of mold, well, crap, do I have mold in my house? And it's kind of actually amazing as well that as many people that come back and say, yeah, I actually found mold in my home. I found this here. I found this there. We did a mold test for the house, and this is what we found. And now what do we do? How do we get rid of it? How do we keep it from coming back? How do we, you know, what do we do? Where do we go from here? Like these are all legitimate problems that people have when they find out, oh crap, I've got all this going on. Well, for me, I'm like, yeah, you've got to address that in your house. But the important thing for us is we also have to address this mold in your system because it's creating all kinds of havoc. I mean, not only are mold and metals gut disruptors, they're also endocrine disruptors. They mess up our hormones. Well, okay. And a lot of people, that's how they talk about it. They talk about, you know, these things being endocrine disruptors. Well, a lot of our hormones are actually manufactured in our gut. Our neurotransmitters are manufactured in our gut, or they're part of the manufacturing process has to do with our gut and our gut's ability to absorb nutrients that we need to make these things. Like, we're talking about crazy chaos that happens with our gut function when we have, you know, molds in our system. I mean, some people, they have allergies to mold and they know, okay, well, if I walk into a place that is moldy, I have allergies. Well, guess what? If you're having allergies, that's a whole systemic issue. That's not just, okay, I get a runny nose and I sneeze a lot. I mean, that's a lot of increased mucus production along all of those mucous membranes that are happening. And, you know, we're creating all this histamine release and all this stuff and the chaos and the havoc that this stuff plays on the body.
Right. And while there are certainly things that we can and should do once we find out that someone has mold or heavy metals in their body, the most important really is to, you know, eliminate the exposure, right? I mean, if you're being exposed,
basically burn your house down and get rid of all your belongings and just move. that's your only choice.
But if you're exposed on a daily basis, I mean, you know, just in full disclosure, we have had patients who, you know, are being exposed through their work environment or through their home, and they get frustrated with us because they still are having symptoms. And we're like, we can only treat you so much if you continue to be exposed on a daily basis. There's only so much that we can do. Now, of course, that's going to, I mean, there are a lot of different factors that go into that. It's going to matter how much exposure you're getting, how healthy your body is otherwise, and how well you're able to tolerate those exposures. But, you know, all things being equal, if you're exposed on an everyday basis, our treatment is only going to go so far.
And two, another thing that happens is we'll have husbands and wives that come in living in the same home. One of them has high levels of mold and one of them doesn't. And we find out that they have mold in their home. Well, why did the one not have an issue? Well, because some people are able to kill, bind, and excrete mold. Their system is functioning well enough to overcome the problem that's being delivered to them. But also, we have no idea. They may work outside, or they may work, you know, they may not have a job where their job is exposing them as well. I mean, like Aaron just said, I mean, if people being exposed at home and at work, like that's a big problem. And that's, you know, you're basically being exposed all the time, except when you're in your car. And who knows? You may have exposure in your car. I mean, I don't know if your air conditioner went bad and you've got mold growing in there. Another place for mold exposure in houses for people are individuals using a CPAP machine. One of the first questions I ask if someone says, yeah, I've been diagnosed with sleep apnea and I have a CPAP machine, I say, how often do you clean your machine? It's unbelievable how many people tell me, oh gosh, I don't know, maybe twice a month, maybe. I'm like, okay, well, it only takes less than 24 hours for mold to start growing on water. So you need to clean that thing way more frequently than you're doing now. And I've had individuals that have had issues start to improve just by cleaning their CPAP machine more frequently. Anyway, I don't want to beat on the mold too much because, you know, we mentioned mold and heavy metals. Heavy metals are also a huge, huge problem. And knowing our exposure to these things is really important. So, you know, heavy metals can be coming from all kinds of places. Certain parts of cities have lead pipes that are bringing water to people. Someone in an older home may have a lead pipe in their home. They may have lead paint on the walls. I mean, we had this whole lead issue up in Michigan that, you know, it was just in the municipal water supply. Like, there are so many places where we are exposed to metals. I mean, there are medications that have metals in them. And people are like, well, I had no idea. And I mean, it's really true. I mean, there are metals in certain medications. And so the issue with this stuff is how this stuff affects our gut and the disruption that it gives to our microbiome when we're exposed to these things and we're not doing anything to help bind this stuff and carry this stuff out of the system. There are different ways to get this stuff out of the system. It depends on what's there. It depends on how much damage is being caused, and how healthy the person is as we're trying to remove these things from a system. That, you know, this is one of the places where we were threading a needle in functional medicine, at least at our office, in helping someone to remove these things from their system, all while helping their system improve. Because as you try to take this stuff out, if the body wasn't able to detoxify it the first time, it's going to have a really hard time detoxifying it the second time. And so if it's creating gut disturbance going in, it's going to create potentially gut disturbance coming out because that person's system may be just completely dysfunctional and need massive amounts of help.
Right. Well, and a lot of people have trouble with that detoxification component, which is where we come in.
that is true. But, you know, this is one of those things where you have to know that it's in your system and you have to know that you're being exposed because, I mean, if you're coming in saying, I have gut dysfunction, I only want to focus on my gut, and all we do is look at some blood labs and show, okay, yeah, you're missing some things here, and we look at a stool test and we're like, okay, yeah, your gut's dysfunctional. I can, like I said before, I can give you everything that we know can help to build that gut up. But if you're still getting damaged and because you're using these things that we've been talking about today, you're continuing to consume dairy, you're continuing to use toxic cleaning products, you're not figuring out if you have mold and heavy metal exposure, you're still eating foods that are heavily laden with pesticides. Like, there is nothing that I can give you that's going to overcome that mountain of insult to your gut.
Right. No, exactly. We have to eliminate the exposure.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we've got a couple more that I want to touch on, and then we'll do a little recap of the things that we've been talking about that can disrupt a gut. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back to the show. If you're just tuning in today, we have been talking about gut disruptors, things that disrupt gut function. I think we've been talking about some things that people may not necessarily equate to being gut disruptors. We've talked about toxic cleaning products. We've talked about conventional dairy. We talked about pesticides, mold, and heavy metals. And next, we're going to talk about antibiotics. pretty much everyone has taken at least a round of antibiotics in their life. And we know that these things can be, you know, very important for us. They help kill off bacteria and help us if we're, if our body's having a difficult time fighting off an infection. But one of the side effects of killing off these bad bacteria that get into our gut is that they also kill off, or bad bacteria that get into our body, they also kill off some of the good bacteria that is in our gut. And when they do this, then our gut has to be able to repopulate. That means that we have to be eating the right foods, we have to be doing the right things to allow our gut to repopulate. Now, where we can really get into trouble is when we take one round of antibiotics and that doesn't do the job, and then we follow that up with a second or third or fourth round of antibiotics. And now we have just completely decimated the microbiome of our gut, and we're asking, you know, our gut to do jobs. We're asking our gut to do a lot of things. We're asking our gut on a daily basis to ultimately extract nutrients, vitamins and minerals and things from our food to allow us to be healthy. And that is almost impossible to do once we have taken a bunch of antibiotics and destroyed that gut microbiome.
Okay, so I think what a lot of people are wondering, because I get this question a lot, is then what do you do? Because obviously nobody wants to be in a position where they have to take an antibiotic, right? But if you are sick and you're told you need an antibiotic, what do you do? Or you take one round and they're like, that didn't do it. Our only option is to give you another round of antibiotic or give you a stronger antibiotic. Okay, what are you supposed to do in those situations?
So that's a fantastic question. For the most part, what you have to do is you have to take steps and acknowledge, okay, I've taken this antibiotic, my gut is dysfunctional. What are the things that I need to do to fix my gut? That's important. We have to acknowledge that we've got to take things that help with the inflammatory process, and we calm down inflammation in our gut. We're probably going to have to take some probiotics and some prebiotics. We're going to have to do the things that are necessary to rebuild our gut. We don't just take the antibiotic, and then when the antibiotic's over, we just go on about our daily lives and not do anything to rebuild it.
So basically, you're saying it's not necessarily about not taking the antibiotic if you need the antibiotic, it's about what you do afterwards.
That is correct. And I also think that people are very quick to jump to an antibiotic before letting their body have a chance to fight things off naturally.
Right. Well, but not necessarily.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. Not necessarily that people are quick, because they're not, I mean, it has to be prescribed, right?
Well, it has to be prescribed, but there have also been trained that I don't feel very good. I'm just going to call my doctor and see if they'll write me a prescription for an antibiotic so I can feel a little better, rather than just deal with not feeling good for a day or two to allow your body for its own natural defenses to kick in and actually overcome the bug.
Well, and I understand that, but I think that a lot of people are told that it's just going to get worse. If you don't start the antibiotic, your body is just going to get worse. We've got to get ahead of it and get the antibiotic in your system.
I disagree. I don't think that's true. I think most people don't realize that their body can overcome a lot of stuff. I mean, that's the beauty of antibiotics. You have a last line of defense or a next line of defense if letting your body deal with a fever, right? As long as the fever's not too high, as long as the fever doesn't get above 104, let the body fight this thing off naturally. I mean, give yourself a chance. Give your body a chance to do that.
Well, and I guess that also comes back to the train theory that we were talking about before. Like, if your body is healthy overall, if you get to a point where you're exposed to something, you have a better chance that your body's going to be able to fight it off naturally,
right?
And you won't have to resort to an antibiotic.
Right. If you're getting adequate levels of, you know, these things that really help the immune system function, if you're getting enough vitamin C, if you're getting enough zinc, if you're getting enough B vitamins, if you're getting enough vitamin D.
Right. Well, and I think that's also really important when we talk about kids, right? Because what are they consuming? A lot of kids are not consuming healthy food, and then they are constantly exposed to things at school. And that's how we end
because
up.
Because all the other kids are not eating healthy food. They're all snotty nosed and sniffling and coughing. And
I know that because now with two kids in school, we are the ones that have the weird kids that are eating fruits and vegetables and meat and not allowing the school and other kids to give our kids food.
Right.
But if they're not consuming healthy foods, their bodies are not going to have the nutrients necessary to fight things off if they're exposed.
Right. And then you have these situations where you get a round of antibiotics on, and then the kid doesn't overcome that. And then there's another round and another round and another round. And next thing you know, the person has just completed four or five rounds of antibiotics. I just had a family in my office where, you know, they're dealing with some food allergies, but it's these food allergies have created a cavalcade of other problems. Like they're just now these kids are developing more food allergies very quickly, and they've all been on antibiotics, and like the parents are doing the best they can and doing what they know, but now the mama has started to say, wait a minute, we've got to do something better. And the dad's like, yep, this has got to change. There has to be a better way to help our kids thrive rather than just avoid all of these things. Like these kids are extremely allergic to a few things because their whole system is just set on fire. And so are we going to return all those allergies around? No, but maybe not. But what if we can, and what if we just stop them from developing more allergies? I mean, it's bad enough having one, but one of these little kids has two or three different things that they're extremely allergic to, and that's a big problem. And we've got to give that body a chance to heal and repair. And the beautiful thing is the kid's got youth on his side.
Right. Right. And yeah, so naturally the body is going to be functioning better than an adult who has had their entire lifetime. The other thing I wanted to bring up is we recently had a patient where the kid had an ear infection and did not clear it with a round of antibiotics. And they were like, well, the doctor wants to put them on another stronger round of antibiotics. And you said, well, is there an infection? And they're like, well, they don't see an infection, but it didn't like, it's still a little red or something. We're like, wait, so we're giving a stronger round of antibiotics after he already went through one round of antibiotics for an infection that we don't even see.
Yeah. That's not even visible. And the person didn't even have positive tests. Like they ran, you know, rapid tests and then sent some stuff off and there was no infection found. But what they want to do is throw another round of antibiotics because the kid's not 100%. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
That's how you end up with a kid with a dysfunctional gut.
Right. And then behavioral problems. And then, it's a downward spiral from there. But, you know, one of the things I looked up, knowing that this was going on and knowing that, you know, that's the nerd I am, I was like, well, how many antibiotics do we write in this country? How many prescriptions? So I went to the CDC's website, and now this is just outpatient antibiotic prescriptions, just outpatient. I have no idea what inpatient would be. So anybody getting antibiotics that's technically in the hospital or admitted into the hospital, this is not included in this data. And the information is staggering. There were in 2020, there were 201.9 million antibiotic prescriptions written.
Wow.
That's the equivalent of 613 antibiotic prescriptions per 1,000 people. So, yikes. Like, that's just, I just wanted to throw that in at the last minute here. You know, I know we've got to go. Our show's wrapping up. But that's the level of antibiotic use that we have going on in this country. And I just wanted you to be aware, and this stuff disrupts gut function. So, I want to thank you all for tuning in today. Hopefully you've learned something. We've talked today about these gut disruptors. We talked about conventional dairy, toxic cleaning products, mold, and heavy metal exposure, and pesticides and antibiotics. If you want more information, you can find Wellness 101 on Spotify and Apple Podcast. You can visit our website, inhstl.com. You can email us directly from our website, or you can feel free to call us, 314-293-8123. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.
Get more at 971talk.com.
And welcome back to the show. If you're just tuning in today, we have been talking about gut disruptors, things that disrupt gut function. I think we've been talking about some things that people may not necessarily equate to being gut disruptors. We've talked about toxic cleaning products. We've talked about conventional dairy. We talked about pesticides, mold and heavy metals. And next, we're going to talk about antibiotics. Pretty much everyone has taken at least a round of antibiotics in their life. And we know that these things can be, you know, very important for us. They help kill off bacteria and help us if our body's having a difficult time fighting off an infection. But one of the side effects of killing off these bad bacteria that get into our gut is that they also kill off or bad bacteria that get into our body, they also kill off some of the good bacteria that is in our gut. And when they do this, then our gut has to be able to repopulate. That means that we have to be eating the right foods, we have to be doing the right things to allow our gut to repopulate. Now, where we can really get into trouble is when we take one round of antibiotics and that doesn't do the job, and then we follow that up with a second or third or fourth round of antibiotics. And now we have just completely decimated the microbiome of our gut. And we're asking, you know, our gut to do jobs. We're asking our gut to do a lot of things. We're asking our gut on a daily basis to ultimately extract nutrients, vitamins and minerals and things from our food to allow us to be healthy. And that is almost impossible to do once we have taken a bunch of antibiotics and destroyed that gut microbiome.
Okay, so I think what a lot of people are wondering, because I get this question a lot, is then what do you do? Because obviously nobody wants to be in a position where they have to take an antibiotic, right? But if you are sick and you're told you need an antibiotic, what do? Or you take one round and they're like, that didn't do it. Our only option is to give you another round of antibiotic or give you a stronger antibiotic. Okay, what are you supposed to do in those situations?
So that's a fantastic question. For the most part, what you have to do is you have to take steps and acknowledge, okay, I've taken this antibiotic, my gut is dysfunctional, what are the things that I need to do to fix my gut? That's important. We have to acknowledge that we've got to take things that help with the inflammatory process, and we calm down inflammation in our gut. We're probably going to have to take some probiotics and some prebiotics. We're going to have to do the things that are necessary to rebuild our gut. We don't just take the antibiotic, and then when the antibiotic's over, we just go on about our daily lives and not do anything to rebuild it.
So basically, you're saying it's not necessarily about not taking the antibiotic if you need the antibiotic, it's about what you do afterwards.
That is correct. And I also think that people are very quick to jump to an antibiotic before letting their body have a chance to fight things off naturally.
Right. Well, but not necessarily.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. Not necessarily that people are quick, because they're not, I mean, it has to be prescribed, right?
Well, it has to be prescribed, but there have also been trained that I don't feel very good. I'm just going to call my doctor and see if they'll write me a prescription for an antibiotic so I can feel a little better, rather than just deal with not feeling good for a day or two to allow your body for its own natural defenses to kick in and actually overcome the bug.
Well, and I understand that, but I think that a lot of people are told that it's just going to get worse. If you don't start the antibiotic, your body is just going to get worse, we've got to get ahead of it and get the antibiotic in your system.
I disagree. I don't think that's true. I think most people don't realize that they can, that their body can overcome a lot of stuff. I mean, that's the beauty of antibiotics. You have a last line of defense or a next line of defense if letting your body deal with a fever, right? As long as the fever's not too high, as long as the fever doesn't get above 104, let the body fight this thing off naturally. I mean, give yourself a chance. Give your body a chance to do that.
Well, and I guess that also comes back to the train theory that we were talking about before. Like, if your body is healthy overall, if you get to a point where you're exposed to something, you have a better chance that your body's going to be able to fight it off naturally, right? And you won't have to resort to an antibiotic.
Right. If you're getting adequate levels of, you know, these things that really help the immune system function, if you're getting enough vitamin C, if you're getting enough zinc, if you're getting enough B vitamins, if you're getting enough vitamin D.
Right. Well, and I think that's also really important when we talk about kids, right? Because what are they consuming? A lot of kids are not consuming healthy food, and then they are constantly exposed to things at school. And that's how we end
up. Because all the other kids are not eating healthy food. They're all snotty nosed and sniffling and coughing. And
I know that because now with two kids in school, we are the ones that have the weird kids that are eating fruits and vegetables and meat, and not allowing the school and other kids to give our kids food.
Right.
But if they're not consuming healthy foods, their bodies are not going to have the nutrients necessary to fight things off if they're exposed.
Right. And then you have these situations where you get a round of antibiotics on, and then the kid doesn't overcome that. And then there's another round and another round and another round. And next thing you know, the person has just completed 4 or 5 rounds of antibiotics. I just had a family in my office where, you know, they're dealing with some food allergies. But it's, these food allergies have created a cavalcade of other problems. Like, they're just now these kids are developing more food allergies very quickly, and they've all been on antibiotics, and like the parents are doing the best they can and doing what they know. But now the mama has started to say, wait a minute, we've got to do something better. And the dad's like, yep, this has got to change. There has to be a better way to help our kids thrive rather than just avoid all of these things. Like, these kids are extremely allergic to a few things because their whole system is just set on fire. And so are we going to return all those allergies around? No, but maybe not. But what if we can, and what if we just stop them from developing more allergies? I mean, it's bad enough having one, but one of these little kids has 2 or 3 different things that they're extremely allergic to, and that's a big problem. And we've got to give that body a chance to heal and repair. And the beautiful thing is the kid's got youth on his side.
Right. Right. And yeah, so naturally the body is going to be functioning better than an adult who has had their entire lifetime. The other thing I wanted to bring up is we recently had a patient where the kid had an ear infection and did not clear it with a round of antibiotics. And they were like, well, the doctor wants to put them on another stronger round of antibiotics. And you said, well, is there an infection? And they're like, well, they don't see an infection, but it didn't, like,
yeah,
it's still a little red or something. We're like, wait, so we're giving a stronger round of antibiotics after he already went through one round of antibiotics for an infection that we don't even see?
Yeah, that's not even visible. And the person didn't even have positive tests. Like, they ran, you know, rapid tests and then sent some stuff off, and there was no infection found. But what they want to do is throw another round of antibiotics because the kid's not 100%. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
That's how you end up with a kid with a dysfunctional gut.
Right. And then behavioral problems. And then it's a downward spiral from there. But, you know, one of the things I looked up, knowing that this was going on and knowing that, you know, that's the nerd I am, I was like, well, how many antibiotics do we write in this country? How many prescriptions? So I went to the CDC's website, and now this is just outpatient antibiotic prescriptions, just outpatient. I have no idea what inpatient would be. So anybody getting antibiotics that's technically in the hospital or admitted to the hospital, this is not included in this data. And the information is staggering. There were in 2020, there were 201.9 million antibiotic prescriptions written.
Wow.
That's the equivalent of 613 antibiotic prescriptions per 1,000 people. So, yikes. Like, that's just, I just wanted to throw that in at the last minute here. You know, I know we've got to go, our show's wrapping up, but that's the level of antibiotic use that we have going on in this country. And I just wanted you to be aware, and this stuff disrupts gut function. So I want to thank you all for tuning in today. Hopefully you've learned something. We've talked today about these gut disruptors. We talked about conventional dairy, toxic cleaning products, mold and heavy metal exposure, and pesticides and antibiotics. If you want more information, you can find Wellness 101 on Spotify and Apple Podcast. You can visit our website, inhstl.com. You can email us directly from our website, or you can feel free to call us, 314-293-8123. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.